back, so we're trying to get your supporter, Miss Rose K-U-K-U-K. Do you know her, sir?
Yes.
She wanted to participate, but she's not coming on the phone, so we're going to have to start your hearing now. I'm going to leave it on. We have the music and see if she comes on. But at this time, the Honorable Mr. Neal will be conducting your hearing.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I'm sorry. Let me hook up my microphone so you can hear me.
While you're doing that, I'm going to hang up again and call back because I've had this one on hold for about 5 minutes and no one returned. So I'm going to call back and see if I'll
win. Or try one more time on your support.
Okay, it's my case manager.
Yes, sir. She wanted to be on the phone, but nobody's picking up. And how's her name pronounced?
Rose Kentucky.
Kentucky. Hello?
Thank you for holding this story. How can I address your call?
Yes, I'm trying to reach Ms. Rose, Kentucky, K-U-K-U-K. This is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and she wanted to participate in a hearing today. Yes, this is Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and it's our understanding that you wish to participate in the revocation hearing for Mr. Wood today. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay, if you hold on, you will be called on at the appropriate time. The Honorable Mr. Neal will begin the hearing very shortly. Mr. Neal, sir.
Thank you. Sir, can you state your name and agency number for the record?
Anthony Latrell Woods, ABC number is 102384.
Okay, you're representing the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce the board members at this time. To my right is the Honorable Dr. Suki Wright, who is our board chairman. To his right is the Honorable Louis Canomas, and to his right is the Honorable Dale Rittenhouse. My name is David Neal. I'm the panel chairman today. Also in the room, we have Mr. Odd Moore, who's from the Department of Corrections, and he also represents the parole office. And prior to hearing, you signed and received a notification form advising you of this board hearing. Do you remember that form, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, on that form, you were notified your right to either appear and speak on your own behalf or paying a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you obtain an attorney, or are you going to represent yourself today, sir?
I represent myself.
Okay, I need to ask you and Mr. Odd one question. So do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God and do you so offer?
Yes, I do.
All right, your hearing will be conducted in two phases today. Phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your committee supervision have been violated. In phase two, we will determine whether your committee supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We'll start with phase one, and what I'm going to do is read the allegations on your warrant, and after I read each one, I'll ask you if it's true or false. If you say it's false, we'll get more information from Mr. Osborne, and then we'll discuss it, okay?
Yes.
Okay, there's three allegations on your warrant. Allegation number one is a violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about October 23rd, 2017, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated October 25th, 2017. That true or false, sir?
True. That's true.
Okay, allegation number two is a violation of Arizona condition of supervision number seven, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about August 21st, 2017, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated October 25th, 2017. Is that one true or false, sir?
That's true.
Okay. Allegation number three is violation of Arizona condition of supervision number seven, as demonstrated by providing a urine specimen that had been adulterated by dilution and unsuitable for testing on or about October 24th, 2017, per the task lab report dated October 25th, 2017. Is that true or false, sir?
True.
All right, based on the admissions of Mr. Wood, I'm going to find that Mr. Wood delinquent as he violated the term and condition of his supervision, and that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Great.
Just a moment, sir. Get a few things written down so I don't forget. Okay, so we're going to move to phase two, and very much that phase will determine whether to reinstate or revoke your community supervision. But before we start, Mr. Osborne is going to give some more information.
Mr. Osborne?
Yes, sir. Mr. Woods. My mic on. Yes, sir. Mr. Woods was released from DOC custody on April 13th of 2017. He was arrested on October 25th of 2017 by the electronic monitoring unit on a field arrest for a tech violation and was turned back to our custody on October 25th of 2017 with 0 scan days with a community supervision end date of February 13th of 2018. Current conviction, 2012, aggravated assault, 6 years. Prior conviction, 1993, armed robbery, 7 years. In 2004, narcotic drug violation, 4 years. He's had 3 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 4.4, a mental health score of 3, and a substance abuse score of 3. There is SGG and gang information noted. The inmate was admitted at Alhambra intake to being a former member of the Crumlin Street Gang, the Westside City Crips. Prior terms of supervision, 1998, provisional release violator, reinstated. 1998, BOEC reached date, converted to ERCD, completed 1 year, 7 months, 24 days. 2008, TIS tech violator, reinstated with amended conditions. In 2008, BOEC reinstate completion, 2 months, 22 days. He has a significant disciplinary history with rioting and theft noted. Other arrests, 1990, aggravated assault, AZ, juvenile detention. 1990, molestation of a child, AZ, juvenile detention. In 2011, DUI, liquor, drugs, vapors, combo, AZ County Jail. And he has community risk score of G6B8.
Thanks, Sheriff.
Mr. Neal, may I ask a quick question of our community corrections officer?
Sure.
Just for my own clarification, Mr. Osborne, on for molestation as a juvenile, that does not result in a registerable offense.
So let me check Ames really quick on that.
Thanks.
Okay.
I think that's the first time I've seen that. Thank you, sir.
I'll go over some of the information I have about your release and your committee supervision, sir. I think when you're released, he had no approved residence, and on April 13, 2017, you were able to secure a residence at Church of the Street located 4006 West Van Buren in Phoenix. No residence was approved. And were you staying there the entire time you were on release, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And if possible, can I give you some, a little information on my,
Okay, but yeah, I'm going to go through this and then you'll have an opportunity to tell us everything that you would like to tell us. Okay?
Okay.
Alright. So then let's see. Under employment, you obtain verifiable or may have, you read them, verifiable employment information with Valley Life Temp Agency. And the downside is 1301 East Thunderbird Road in Phoenix, Arizona. And the temporary employer at that time was started as first, were you working the entire time you were out?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's very good. Okay, I see you were referred to task for drug screens during intake. You assigned to Colored Navy. And let's see. You read, signed, and received a copy of task instruction sheets on October 24, 2017. Your task color code was modified to brown for increased UN testing. And task history is as follows, which is you actually had seven drops during times between May 26th and October 24th, six of which were negative. Now, you failed to submit twice, and both times within a couple of days, you went and had another UA which were negative. So it's not showing any pattern of drugs or anything, but the one on the 24th of October was the diluted sample. Why was it diluted, sir?
Well, I have a lot of medical issues. Okay, I was taking gabapentin 600 milligrams four times a day, 2 milligram Percocets four times a day, and 2 weeks before my community supervision was revoked, I started taking an iron pill. My parole officer was aware of all of the medications that I was taking, which was the gabapentin, the tramadol, and the Percocets. I had not notified him yet on the iron pill. I had to drink a lot of water. I had been drinking a lot of water through the whole time that I've been dropping the UAs. From my opinion, it's just an honest mistake. I wasn't trying to get high off any drugs. I spoke to my doctors and I let them know that I didn't want to be on a Percocet for long term. I wanted to have the operations on my spinal cord and get off of them. I had been addicted to them before. And so that's what we were doing, getting the surgeries done. I just drank too much water. I wasn't on any drugs at all. I mean,
what was that pill, the medication you said was added that you haven't informed them about? What was the medication?
Iron pill. I'm anemic.
Okay. But, so you didn't have any concerns about the UA as far as those drugs because they know about them, right? Because they're all prescription. But having been on iron pills myself, I know one of the things they tell you to do is drink as much water as you can get down your system.
Right.
Did you explain that to your PO when this one came back in?
I didn't get a chance to. He talked to me, asked me how much did I have to drink. I said, well, before I went to take the UA, I drank a 20-ounce bottle of water. But, I mean, that morning, I drank because the church on the streets, we have to turn our medications in, and they give them to us. That's prescribed.
Right.
So I took the medications that morning. I did what I do every day before I go to work. I drink me two cups of coffee, a bottle of water, and maybe a cup. And then whatever I drink when I'm at work. And he asked me about that. How much I drunk before I went to UA? I said a 20-ounce bottle.
Okay.
That was it.
Right. Under the sanctions. Okay, it looks like in June, Parole Officer Van Gundy verbally redirected you on task calling procedures due to your failure to submit a UA on the 9th. And you were advised that any more UA violations would result in increased sanctions to include a possible RTC, which I don't know what that means. And if you stated that you understood, then on the 24th of October, you reported the EMU was directed and was staffed by FPO Pereira regarding your missed UA on 10/23, October 23rd. And you were sanctioned to increase UA testing under color code brown, and the offender was advised that any more violations could and would result in increased sanctions to include a
return to custody.
Yeah, I think I remember the second one twice. Okay. FPO Pereira questioned that you regarding your liquid intake prior to providing a urine sample on October 24, 2017, and you stated that you drank 1 12-ounce bottle of water, thus there was no reason for the urine specimen to be diluted. So your explanation of intake wasn't exactly what the SPO Pereira intaking here, but along with everything else, it's, I'm not as concerned about that as some of the other things. So, let's see. So when you're finally done with the Department of Corrections, which one way or the other, whether the board votes to release you now or whether you serve the rest of your time, middle of February, just before Valentine's Day, you'll be finished. What are your plans for the future, sir?
Well, I got out this time for once in my life on a positive mindset. And when I went to see my case managers at Southwest Network Behavioral, I immediately asked for a job. I'm 40 years old, or 41 as of yesterday, and I've never had a job in my life. And so I started working through Valley Life. While I've been going to Stardust working there, I've also been volunteering to work there through my days off. They're helping me get my certification license to drive forklift, and to be able to help deal with people out in the work field. And so I stayed there all of this time doing that, and just trying to get my my employment together and be successful. I also have a daughter that's 25 years old that's in a wheelchair. Her leg was amputated off due to an overdose. And so it's really time that I sit myself down and actually, be there and be there for her, and the things that she's going through. We're dealing with her mother's death. And so my plans is, once I'm released, I actually have to go back and have a surgery done on my spinal cord. My spinal cord is bone on bone. I have neuropathy in both of my legs from the knees down. I also have my spinal cord is also bone on bone in the upper part of my chest. And so I need to get those operations done. I need to get back in work. I have some great opportunities for me out there with Stardust right now. If I can get back out and get back to them with them training me out there in the work field and things like that. I'm on a positive roll here. Me, Mr. UA, I'm admitting to that. I wasn't dirty. It wasn't about me trying to get high or do any drugs. I could have really got my medical marijuana card. I qualified for it. I didn't want to do any drugs. That was my choice. And when I spoke to my doctors about the pain medication, I had been hooked on that medication before I was incarcerated in 2012. I did not want to go back down that route. And so they placed me on the medication, and they got me to the surgeons, which I was supposed to speak with the surgeon a week or two after I had got locked up to discuss what type of surgery that was going to be performed on my spinal cord. I mean, that was the whole plan, to get me on the medication, to get the surgery done, and to get me off of it, so I don't get addicted to it and go back down that route. So it wasn't about me trying to do any drugs or covering up anything. Like I said, I could have got my medical marijuana card. I wasn't trying to get high. I had the money to get it. I wasn't trying to do any of that. I'm simply, I got out of prison, I got me a job, I was trying to get me an apartment, get my daughter around me, and help her with the situations and the things that she was dealing with.
Okay.
I attended all of my programming, I attended all of my church, I went to church 7 days a week with Church on the Streets, I volunteered, you know, at the place of employment where I was working out on my days off, to keep myself busy and to try to learn the work field. I feel good about myself. I did everything I could possibly do in a positive manner to not only stay out of prison, but to keep myself on the right path and to see to it that I did not go back down, you know, in criminal activities or criminal ways.
Okay. We'll see if any of my colleagues have any questions at times. Mr. Adam.
Yeah, this is just pertaining to Mr. Quinones' question from earlier. Because he was a juvenile, he's not registered under FIWA, but because the victim was a three-year-old child, DCAC is cited in the court documents, and that's why he has the condition of no contact with anyone under the age of 18.
Thank you.
Got it. Okay.
Thank you for that clarification.
Ms. Woods.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. So, Mr. Woods, you mentioned that you're 41 and you've never had a job, right, before?
Yes, ma'am.
How did you survive? I mean, I can see you've done some terms in prison, but there were times in between. How did you survive?
Well, the first time when I was released from 97, I was always in the streets. Hustling, doing drugs, selling drugs, that led to my 2004 conviction of sale of narcotic drugs.
Okay. And then so you were just homeless then?
Yeah, yes. The second time when I was released in 2007, I started receiving disability from my SMI, and then I maintained an apartment. My sister was my payee and maintained an apartment the whole time that I was out. I basically lived off of that. I didn't get in any other trouble as far as selling any drugs or anything, none of that. I was just basically staying in my apartment a lot, quite a bit.
Okay. Well, it's a good thing that you're looking for work now, you know, whatever you can do given your, with your back and everything, but that's very good. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Neal.
Okay. At this time, I am going to ask Rose if she's got anything to say, and we'll listen to her, and then we'll go from there, okay?
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I didn't want to slaughter your last name, ma'am.
It's Kukuk is how you say it. Spelled K-U-K-U-K.
Yes. My tongue would have slipped on that. But anyway, go ahead and tell us what you'd like the board to know.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? It's echoing quite a bit.
He was just asking you to give your testimony at this time as it relates to Mr. Woods.
Okay, thank you. Yes, since Anthony has opened up with our clinic, or I was assigned as case manager several months ago, he's definitely engaged in services. He's worked with our Boca Rehab program and working over at startups. And he's been pretty successful in that. He's been looking for, he was wanting to get certified, like you stated, as a forklift operator. And he has attended all of his appointments here. I've not had any issues with him, you know, not taking his meds as prescribed. I have had to set up transportation for him to go back and forth to the various medical appointments. At one point it was with the pre-diabetes testing that was going on, along with the back issues, and then possible surgery on his feet for that was, I guess it was a condition caused by the possible diabetes. But overall, he has engaged in services. He was worked in between working with me. I know he was trying to do some of the legal work to get visitation with his daughter. A lot of what he did was very proactive and on his own. He would look for alternative resources. If he would need to do any of the legal work, he would go to the library. He would research and follow up on those things. I know at Church on the Street, whenever I've spoken with their staff, they've had nothing but great things to say about Anthony. He would volunteer there, and he would do a lot of various tasks that was part of helping him with his room and board and staying there. He was looking at apartments and trying to also save up the money that he was earning from Stardust. And and at this point, I guess, with just the barriers with the ankle monitoring and all of that, that was a barrier also for trying to locate an apartment. But otherwise, he was, everything that he stated that he needed to do to stay on the right track, he, in my eyes, fulfilled. I had absolutely no challenges. He was just very proactive in his treatment and looking at his goals. He did state to me on a majority of our meetings that he was tired of the life that he has led, and he was looking for better opportunities and moving past this and doing whatever he needed to stay on the right track.
Okay, we didn't lose you, did we?
I'm sorry?
Okay, but when you want to stop talking, it was very silent. I want to make sure you were still there.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I, I do know that with his medical, that was still following up on. So as far as the dehydration, I do know that he also walked quite a bit, but I'm not a physician, so I can't state anything in regard to hydration and all of that.
Right.
But I did set up transportation, and he was seeing various specialists engaging in that part of the medical as well, beyond the mental health. And unless you have any questions for me, I think that might be it.
Does the board have any questions?
Yes, sir.
Dr. Ray?
Mr. Chairman, Neil, ma'am, exactly what do you do? I mean, your services, I'm just not familiar with Southwest, and I was just wondering what types of services do you run there?
We are a outpatient psychiatric clinic, so working with the adult population with severe mental illness. Obviously, and if there's substance abuse with the mental illness, we work with that as well. We will coordinate those services as far as finding, providing medication management, giving the community resources, engaging our clients within the community. We have our book rehab that will help and find them employment. We have housing that will assist somebody in coordinating that they receive all of their psych services through us. And as a case manager, when I have somebody assigned to me, I ensure that all of those needs are met.
Okay, may I also just ask this now, where is Mr. Woods housed now? Where does he reside?
He was staying at Church on the Street until he was violated, but I do know he was in the process of trying to locate an appropriate apartment to live that his parole officer would approve of, but he was looking at trying to pre-plan just for that.
And do you know why he was violated at Church on the Streets? Or you don't know?
I know that he was violated due to the, he told me that his phone had not been working or was shut off. It was something like that. So he didn't get the messages for his color, that it was up until afterward. And so and then when he did go to submit the urine sample, that it was diluted.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you so very much. Others might have some questions, but those are my questions.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. You can stay on the phone if you'd like.
Okay.
We finish the hearing. Okay, Mr. Woods, we're coming nearer to the conclusion of your hearing. So since it is your hearing, we'd like to give you an opportunity to tell us anything else that you might like to tell us that you haven't already said.
Just that, I mean, I understand I got a short time left to go on February 13th. However, I am asking respectfully that I be reinstated. I would like to get the surgeries done. I have a lot of positive things going for myself out there right now, and a lot of opportunities with Stardust that can help me get further in life once I'm done with the Department of Corrections and everything. I don't feel like I'm a threat to anyone out there. I did my hardest. I mean, I gave everything through all those things that I was going through, physical therapy, from doctor to doctor, pain management and everything. I made all of my appointments. I did everything I was supposed to do. I had 3 minor mishaps. I don't feel that I should have to sit in here until February 13th. I'm in a lot of pain. They don't too much treat you for a lot of this stuff in here. I'm taking my Lactocan, which is an inflammatory. That's all they're giving me. And I just really want to get back out there and pick up where I left off at and try to give myself that chance.
Okay. The board is going to go into discussion now. We'll be talking amongst ourselves to make a decision on your community supervision. While we are talking, if you think we're talking to you, we really won't. We'll make it specific. So we just ask that you stay on the phone and you can listen to the discussion. Then when we're done, we'll advise you of what the conclusion is. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
The board is now in discussion. Looking at everything and the current situation with the violations with everything that I've heard from him and his supporter and everything else he's made in progress with and everything, I'm inclined to move to Mr. Went back to returning to community supervision, but I'm just one voting member of the board, and I certainly would like to listen to what others have to say. Anything? Ms. Rittenhouse.
And it's interesting that it looks like Mr. Woods has been reinstated on three different periods of supervision, maybe only two, 1998 and 2008. So he's come before and been reinstated before, so I think that's interesting. I think it's the first time that I've seen that with anybody, that they've been reinstated. Sounds very earnest to me, so I would tend to agree that reinstatement is a good thing.
Not knowing the boards at the time.
Mr. Connors?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Neal. I will admit, I'm not very comfortable with his history, but when it comes down to the warrant of arrest itself, his behavior outside of the prison system, I believe with 2 months and 5 days left, and with him trying to move forward with his physical and behavioral issues, I would support returning him to community supervision.
Dr. Wright?
Chairman. Neil, Mr. Chairman, I do agree. I think one reason I agree, despite his past record, is that he is receiving this help from the Southwest group, and hopefully they will continue to work with him and so that he will not make the same mistakes over again. So I agree with you, sir.
Okay. Well, based on this, I based on our all of the information in the warrant and testimonies and discussion. I'm going to move to return Mr. Woods on committee supervision with the same condition of supervision we had before, and I would like to make an alternate amendment, and just because of the issue of the UA, I'm going to put on here the appeal and start revocation process upon first positive movement. Next, unsuitable for testing, unexcused UA. And the key is an unexcused situation. But I'm going to also put at PO's discretion.
Okay.
Which gives him or the room. So that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
One moment, sir. Okay, Mr. Woods, the board has voted to reinstate you to your community supervision. We'd like for you to be able to get out there and get back on your programs with treated health programs and everything else, get your life in order. You seem to really have a wonderful attitude about that. But be careful on the days. So if you, if you call, don't forget to go and put something on your phone, get some kind of, text messages, text words from past, whatever. Just don't miss any. You know, prove that that was, those were mistakes, not intentional type things. Okay?
Right. Thank you all very much, and I will do that.
Okay, it'll take a few days to get all the paperwork back to you. So in the meantime, work with your CO3 about anything you have to do as far as, placement and everything so that you can have all, everything in place when all the paperwork's done, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're quite welcome. Can you put the CO3 back on the phone?